to be right still until the whole crowd ate. My mama always said to me, Jim, take a tater and wait. Now taters never did taste good with chicken on the plate, but I had to eat them just the same. That is why I look so bad and have these puny ways, because I always had to take an old cold tater and wait.
And happy Saturday. It is Saturday, April 22nd, 2023. Time for another edition of Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack. Hope everyone's having a wonderful Saturday, wonderful weekend, and hopefully you didn't get hit by those storms too badly last night. Tonight's episode is episode 21 and is entitled Noticing Patterns with Mr. Giuseppe. So we're proud to have Mr. Giuseppe back with us for his second appearance on the Snack Shack. And just a quick shout out, I was on with Mr. Andrew Carrington Hitchcock this past week, and we did a very interesting show out of the ordinary of on the Beatles film, The Yellow Submarine, and the very curious I Am a Phony group. So if you get a chance, go out and check that out. And for those who aren't familiar, Andrew Carrington Hitchcock and Golden Pipe Wrench and I put together that Henry Ford series that's available on Money Tree Publishing. So you definitely want to check out that series on Henry Ford sometime. And this morning, I got to join Mr. Ammon Bundy and Mr. Casey Whalen on Thought Crime Live with Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener. And if you want to talk about some hell-level playing, Mr. Ammon Bundy and Mr. Casey Whalen are definitely doing some hell levels right now, so keep them in your prayers. And anyway, so tonight's guest, Mr. Giuseppe, I guess you most people know him from hosting the Sane Asylum and the Perfect Triangle shows, but he's also a musician, songwriter, producer, engineer, and a health warrior who's helping us stand against the white coats of Baphomet and their weaponized medical syndicate. You know, basically what we have is a synagogue of Satan with all these white coats that are either knowingly or unknowingly contributing to the agenda, and they are still the number one killers in the world. And so Giuseppe has studied long and hard on the ancient arts of health and healing and has been a serious battler against the Rothschild and Rockefeller anti-health systems. So for the newbies who want to call in, what we do is Giuseppe and I'll talk to the bottom of the hour, and at the bottom of the hour, we'll open up the phone lines, and you can call in 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Or you can call the toll-free number, and remember, RBN has to pick up the dime on that, but the toll-free number is 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And as always, you can join us 24/7, 365 in the Trading Post chat room at bb9tradingposts.chatango.com. That's bb9tradingposts.chatango.com, where we have the hottest news, the dankest memes, and the best tips on independent living. But if you're looking for a knife fight, we just send you go someplace else. So anyway, I wonder what Mr. Giuseppe wants to talk about tonight. We talk about the weather. We're back to spring weaponized pollen here in the high country of North Kakalaki. And we started out the day at zero dark 30 this morning with some massive rocking the hillside thunderstorms that were popping the circuit breakers and shaking the house and all kinds of fun stuff. What a thing to wake up to. Things finally calmed down. And then the bears showed up, and they got the phone call on the crow phone line saying, we've got four bears, three babies, and a mama bear in the tree in the front yard. So anyway, nobody was hurt. The bears are fine, but it was just a interesting call to the Trading Post first thing this morning. So maybe he wants to talk about the big Watauga County debate that is still going on as to which was more hateful. Angry black man from Atlanta, Tobias M. Jones, going on a Mad Max terror rampage against white drivers in his semi-tractor trailer truck in New Boone, or some kid waving a swastika flag near the Carpetbagger Chicken Swingers clubhouse, Or maybe he wants to talk about the New Boone Immigrant Center and Muslim Mosque and how progressive it is that the local High Country Synagogue, paid for by the Schaefer Dykes, and all these new non-denominational but highly inclusive megachurches like Bible Alliance Incorporated are working so hard and spending so much money bringing the third world into our home to fix the Watauga County is too white and too Christian problem. Or maybe he wants to talk about how Muslim invader and ethnic grocery store owner, Muslim community leader and activist Tazir Zarqa was finally arrested by woke capital city police for the stabbing death of a local Raleigh white guy, 27-year-old Mark Garrity Jr., in broad daylight. Are random stabbings and rapes just part and parcel of having a vibrant Muslim community in North Carolina? Are random stabbings and rapes just part and parcel of having a vibrant Muslim community here in North Kakalaki? Is this the price we must pay for diversity, inclusivity, and equity? Die, whitey, die, right? Or maybe he wants to talk about how the recent man gets throat cut at bus stop asking for a cigarette event in New Asheville, North Kakalaki, maybe hurting the tourism industry there. Is it racist and xenophobic to come out to not want to come to the North Carolina mountains for a family summer vacation just because you are afraid of some random person of color in New Asheville that might rob and rape and murder your family? And is it anti-Semitic to ask who brought all these anti-white invaders into Asheville in the first place? Or maybe he wants to talk about how the anti-white, anti-Southern, anti-Christian Charlottesville, Virginia Cheka are now using facial recognition on all the videotapes of Charlottesville to basically go after every single person under some bizarre law of using a flame to intimidate. And if so, would this pill-pull lawfare interpretation of an early anti-KKK law be the reason to drag all these peaceful torchbearers into court to stand trial for the high crime of being white? And why is it that you're racist if you try to compare this to what Antifa and BLM were doing during the Summer of Love 2020, actually burning towns down? Or maybe he wants to talk about how the virtue-signaling, mystery-meets, Satan-worshipping Wigger grandson of 84-year-old Kansas City homeowner Andrew Lester went on CNN with angry homosexual black man Don Lemon to declare war on, quote, stock American Christian males, and he will never forgive his racist grandfather for shooting late-night home invader scholar Ralph Yarl, the greatest man who ever lived this side of St. George Floyd of fentanyl. Or maybe he wants to talk about how the Fox News group folded and paid off Dominion Vote Fraud Equipment Incorporated with $787.5 million of the $1.6 billion originally demanded, rather than going to trial and having all the evidence of actual vote fraud exposed. So in this age of jury by mockingbird media, does this finally prove once and for all that there was no vote fraud in the 2020 presidential election, despite all the hate facts to the contrary? Just like when hardcore lesbian Billie Jean King defeated white guy Bobby Riggs in 1973 to finally settle the battle of the sexes, will this finally settle that there was no vote fraud in 2020? Or maybe he wants to talk about vote fraud facts, that the Hunter Biden laptop turned out to be real, and how all those 51 intelligence agency experts conspired together to convince America voters in 2020 that it was all a Russian disinformation campaign to hurt Joe Biden. What will my old client, General Michael Hayden, be most remembered for? The illegal NSA telco electronic surveillance programs he put in place before 9/11? His creative interpretation of the Fourth Amendment of the U.S. Constitution that the NSA knows so well? His overseeing of the destruction of all the CIA evidence linking the U.S. Abu Ghraib-style torture programs to the Israeli Mossad? or going into business with Rabbi Michael dancing Israeli's shirt off to build airport death scanner machines, or contributing daily to CNN and MSNBC for two decades and being wrong every single time on every single issue, or for proudly signing the Hunter Biden laptop with the Hunter Biden laptop disinformation letter with the other 50 traitors to America. Or maybe Giuseppe wants to talk about the latest piece of hate mail that I got this weekend that came all the way from Israel with no return address, 13 American U.S. dollars, and a note that simply read, Viva con Dios, BB9. Walk with God, BB9. And what are the Las Vegas betting odds that the Watauga County Sheriff's Department might find some nefarious toxin like fentanyl on those donations intended for my trusting fingers? Good thing that standard Trading Post procedure to always wear protective gear when we're answering our hate mail. Or maybe he just wants to talk about fishing. So, Mr. Giuseppe, welcome to the Snack Shack, and tell us, what would you like to talk about tonight?
Well, it's an honor to be back on this excellent show, Frederick. The Snack Shack is one of the hot new hits on RBN, and it's wonderful that you have this platform. I think I'd like to start with that loving correspondence from Israel. Yeah, man, you definitely want to get that tested for something. Good thing you didn't touch it, that's for sure.
Yeah, that was quite the trick on Friday. You know, it's like, oh, we have a letter from Israel. Okay, nobody panic. Everybody put on your mask, put on your rubber gloves. We're going outside. You know, we're looking to see if there are any wires in this, any powder. Right. That was, you know, it's been interesting. You know, I used to get stuff like that all the time after 9/11 when I was still doing politics and blowing the whistle on NSA wiretapping and, you know, the physically impossible official 9/11 truth story. And, you know, they stopped doing it for a while. So that's the first one I've had in quite some time. And it's going to be interesting to see if it was actually a legitimate assassination attempt, because we're getting a lot of reports of this high potency fentanyl that's, you know, you touch it and you die, and, you know, law enforcement are dying from this. So it'd be interesting. We're going to find out what's on it, if the sheriff's department will cooperate with us.
Wow. That's just so despicable. But again, you know, all the more reason why you should put out your scare Jews.
Exactly. Yes, Atmos, when she saw the Family Guy cartoon, she said, we definitely have to have a scare Jew in the yard now. So I've got to put together my scare Jew out there with, you know, and it was, you know, Uncle's birthday this week. So we could say it was, you know, a birthday scare Jew. Right.
There you go. Yeah, man. The other thing that I would like to discuss is the notion of tolerance, Frederick. You know, you've mentioned that you were a left-leaning as a younger man, as was I, because, you know, we're raised by families, and you just, you know, especially for me, you know, I went to Catholic school for the first 9 years, and they really, you know, kind of try to nail in that idea of social consciousness and helping those less fortunate and blah, blah, blah. And to me, the synagogue of Satan, the parasitic globalists, have really preyed upon that using a very sophisticated psyop, which is tolerance. So I got a meme that I know isn't Plato, but it's pretty funny. Someone sent this week by Plato. It's a little earthy. Tolerance is the lube that helps slip the sex toy of dysfunction, I'm not saying the exact words, into the rear end of civilized society. And that is exactly right, because if you think about it, everyone, oh, we all know a nice gay guy or a nice lesbian. They're just, I know them at work. And so then they're like, well, okay, then we started out with civil unions and don't ask, don't tell, which really should have been the pinnacle of their achievement. And I'll explain why in a second, but all of a sudden then had to keep pushing the whole slippery slope of tolerance to let us get married. We deserve to be married. Well, I wasn't too comfortable with that. So then it's like, well, love is love. You got to bake our cakes. If not, we're going to put you out of business. Well, had no tolerance, my own personal tolerance for that. Free market. You don't want to serve someone, don't serve them. And now we've seen the last couple of years this mental degeneracy of use our pronouns. So all of a sudden you've got young women in junior high or high school that identify as kittens and wear little cat ears. And so the school is seriously considering putting a litter box in the girls' bathroom, right? And so then that's led us to drag queen story hour and allow minors to dance, allow us to dance for minors in familial circumstances and pretend it's all for just reading stories. But the reality is these sick degenerates want to swing their wing-wangs around in front of these little kids and get them used to the fact that they're going to have alone time, which is rapey-rapey time with these pedos. And finally, now we're at the point where these mentally ill, these deranged, queer, LGBTQ, WTF teachers are usurping the parental rights and saying, it's okay, Johnny, do you want to be Janie? It's okay, Janie, do you want to be Johnny? We're not going to tell your parents. We're going to have a safe room where you can get dressed up and made into makeup. And you know what, Frederick? It was all in the slippery slope, the psyop of tolerance.
Exactly. And the same here, where they're not trying for Drag Queen Story Hour at the public libraries quite yet. But what they are do is our Renta Town Council, the majority of which are either actively homosexual or strong supporters of the, you know, sodomite community, they're having the town council people have child story time, grooming hour at the library. And then the art community, all this public money went to restore the Boone Theater, one of the old theaters. And they're having a special cabaret night that's all ages. So, you know, you could just read between the lines of promoting this hugely on all the, you know, Mockingbird Media here that's been bought up about, you know, this is going to be a great all ages show. It's cabaret. Oh, it's just fun. You know, people dressing up and, you know, it's just good family fun. And it's like, no, this is grooming, just like this outfit down in Todd, the Elkland Art Center, who after 9/11 started sponsoring this Liberty Parade, which was just the biggest, queerest groom fest you can imagine. And yeah, this is all done with NGO money, right? So people are paying these people to come into towns like this and do this stuff. And if the locals push back on it, you've got the law enforcement, you got the media all ready to shame them down for being racist, homophobic, xenophobic, et cetera, and intolerant, right?
Yes, sir. And let's talk about all the things that these degenerate gay LGBTQ what WTFs have to be proud of. They're so into pride, right? Well, 58% of homosexuals have problems with intestinal worms because their back door is being destroyed by penetration. 1 in 15 homosexuals is a convicted pedophile, and Department of Justice statistics show that 8% of heterosexual couples sexually abuse their children. Well, it's 32% of lesbian couples and 28% of homosexual male couples. 33% of homosexuals have problems with alcoholism. On average, a gay man has up to 80 sexual partners per year, and over 1,000 a lifetime. On average, a straight man has maybe 8 to 10 sexual partners in his lifetime. Perfect correlation between childhood rape and homosexual behavior. 47% of gays admit to having been raped by an adult man during their childhood or adolescence. Homosexuals represent 2% of the world's population, but they represent one-third of pedophile rapists. 78% of homosexuals have sexually transmitted diseases. Homosexuals represent 2% of the world's population, but they represent 87% of AIDS patients. 51% of all cases of domestic violence occur with same-sex couples. So, Frederick, this is what happens when you have tolerance. And the next thing I'd like to talk about in the consideration of tolerance is the insane tolerance of these Chicago groids, Sick-cago, where they're literally, it's like you're watching a clip from one of the movies of Planet of the Apes where they descend upon an urban center. It's unbelievable.
that they're just youths, you know, disadvantaged youths. They're not terrorists. They're not domestic terrorists. They're not criminals. They're just youths, right? And the new mayor doesn't see color, of course.
Of course not. But Frederick, what's so tragic is just reported in the last day or so that some of these Groids stole a car, were going 100 miles an hour, slammed into a mother driving with her six-month-old baby, T-boned them, killed the child, killed this innocent little six-year-old baby. But these Utes were only charged with a misdemeanor. That's second-degree murder, Frederick. And it's ridiculous that these condescending, idiotic Negroes in Chicago – partly, not all. I mean, I was watching some clips from Officer Tatum. I mean, he's not in Chicago, but he's commenting. Same with this fella, Uncle Hotep. And they're saying, the problem is you cannot coddle these children. They need parenting. They need structure, right? And it's just absurd that the former Democratic Party, which is now the communitarian, satanic, globalist, Bolshevik 2.0 party, is trying to normalize all this again in the name of tolerance. I'm so sick of tolerance.
Yes, and like you said, you know, I was probably the biggest libtard to ever come out of North Kakalaki. You know, I bought into all the advanced study. That was the thing that got me, was they target all the smart kids. Not to say I'm a smart kid, but I was always in those groups, right? Yeah. And, you know, you got the special classes, and you realize that the special advanced classes were nothing but cultural Marxism, advanced brainwashing, yes. You know, that they never gave us the true facts around all of these Marxist victim groups, that, you know, no, there are differences, there are biological differences, you know, these are the hate facts. And like the late, great Paul Harvey used to always say, after 9/11, I think many of us started looking at the rest of the story.
Right.
That was my big, you know, okay, well, if I got to question this, what else do I need to question? And that led me down the rabbit hole to my total intolerant ways. I've had enough, you know.
I'm very similar to your path. I mean, I never was was at the level of success you had with your training for VoIP and also political aspirations. But I was like, really, I always considered myself more of a progressive populist. I never liked the kumbaya liberals, but I really saw this as a stunning class inequality, right? With the plutocrats and the oligarchs stealing so much and having such a rigged unfairness. And this is 40, 50 years ago. And now, since Clinton got in, it began to dawn on me that this is not just about a class warfare. It's also spiritual warfare. And the children of Satan are behind all this, right? And then I began to go down those deep rabbit holes of the child trafficking. And this is like 20, 30 years ago. You know, I was fascinated by that book, Transformation by Kathy O'Brien. And oh, my God, Frederick, it's just gotten so much worse now. I mean, literally now you can go on Twitter, I know, or not so much Gab, but or Telegram, and you can literally see anywhere from 500 to 1,000. I don't go on TikTok directly. I don't want whoever's running that to have access to my phone and all that. But there's so many TikTok videos, people repurpose them and put them on Telegram channels and all that. But you can see literally 1,000 times a day, if you really wanted to put your mind into it, but probably at least 50 to 100 easily, of these degenerate, psychopathic, unhinged individuals talking about violence, about, you know, they've created their own weaponized language where normal biological men and women, they're called cis men and women, and they want us to acknowledge that trans mentally ill people, that's a thing, a trans woman or trans man is a thing. I watched a video the other day of this mentally ill young woman who's now got a beard and cut off her breasts, giving birth to a little baby. And then the male, I don't know if it was the father, I didn't have the sound on, I didn't want to hear it. But this dude, they had, is a guy now who is on hormones and was trying to breastfeed the baby, but he couldn't produce milk. I mean, this is such satanic inversion, and it's everywhere. I mean, when I do the intros for my various shows, I just go and I find these clips and then I edit them into my type of narrative, and people seem to like it. But literally, I always find 20 more that I don't use. I mean, I could, and literally, if I spent an 8-hour day, I could find 1,000. I mean, that's just so disgusting.
Yeah, and I always go back to 400,000 plus children go missing in the United States every year. And how is that not the number one story on every headline, on every newscast? You know, and you go to every white nation and you realize their numbers are on par, you know, percentage wise. That, you know, you've got this, you know, homosexual, globo homo hidden hand that is just harvesting these children. And yes, nobody's doing anything about it. And it's just, yeah, it's sickening. And, you know, you see these, you know, radical social workers that, you know, you just think that if a child is in a healthy Christian white household, then that children has to be taken out of that because that's abusive to the child. You know, we need him over here in the hands of the state so we can groom him into whatever he or she wants to be, right?
But, excellent,
you know,
point.
You know, you got to save that child from the family. And the same thing with all these educators. These teachers are graduating these universities like the Appalachian Teachers College, now Appalachian State University. They're brainwashing these young people into this Marxist agenda and then spreading them out into all these public schools and private schools, you know, in this region especially, but, you know, worldwide. And the teachers come out, you know, just thinking that they're not there to teach the children anymore. They're there to rescue the children and to fix the children and protect them from those evil parents and that evil Christianity and that evil nationalism and all of these other things. And yeah, this is what we have. And you know, at what point do we defund these institutions? You know, here we're starting the Heritage Wilkes, Heritage Watauga defund App State campaign, just to say, you know, we are sick of this. And yeah, the same goes if you look at every university; they've all been invaded with the slime mold, and they're putting out the same little Bolsheviks. Are you seeing that?
Oh, absolutely. I live in rural Stafford County, and 15 miles to the south is a really cool town that's 400 years old. It's called Fredericksburg, and it's got a lot of the original buildings, the old downtown. They've repurposed it into a really cool kind of like walkable downtown, although you can drive it as well. It's not one of those things where they block the roads or anything. But they have a school down there called Mary Washington, and there's we always join, you know, because we try to eat naturally and organically, and wherever we live, we join the co-op or the outpost, whatever they want to call it. So we went down there and joined there, and I always chit-chat, you know, because my hair is longer, and I have, you know, I'm a musician, and I have the look, and so I engage these young people in these conversations. I hate to say it, but their hearts are in the right place, but they're so ignorant, and yet they think they know it all. And they're just so literally brainwashed, Frederick. It is. I just, you know, ask open-ended questions. And I get them talking, and they just think, "Oh man, I'm convincing this older guy. You know, he's kind of cool. He's probably a hippie or some whatever. But yeah, man, we're really bonding." And the whole time, I'm just controlling the conversation to try and see if there's any morsel of decency or intellect in them. And it's sad, Frederick. And you know, you've seen it at Appalachian State. It's this little liberal college, Mary Washington. Multiply that times a couple thousand, and that's how many of these youth who have been ruined. And I don't see how they're coming back, honestly.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking about. I actually thought I could take the 9/11 truth movement to Wilmington. And, you know, the scene in Wilmington, both at the university and the co-op there, it was exactly like you were saying. You know, all these so-called intellectual liberals were the most...
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. Yeah, my book has got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer. Well, I'm standing on the corner with a bucket in my hand. I'm waiting for a woman. It ain't got no man, 'cause my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. Yeah, my bucket's got a hole in it. I can't buy no beer.
And we are back. You are listening to Blackbird 9 Saturday Snack Shack here on RBN. And tonight's guest is Mr. Giuseppe. And once again, please, 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 if you have the resource, please donate to RBN. Help keep this station and all the other independent stations on the air. It's so important. We have to have a voice going up against this, you know, Mockingbird media monopoly. We have to be able to get our hate facts out there. So, anyway, we're going to open up the phone lines now. If you want to come in and tell us what you want to talk about or have a question for our guest, Mr. Giuseppe, call in at 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252 or toll free 800-313-9443. That's 800-313-9443. And always come out to the chat room, bb9tradingpost.chatango.com. That's bb9tradingpost.chatango.com. And with us, we got Mr. Steve from Baltimore. So, Mr. Producer, connect Steve from Baltimore, please.
Hello, Chester Blackwell.
Hi, you're a little low.
Oh, how's this? Is that a little bit better?
That's better, yes. How are you doing, Mr. Steve?
I'm doing better now that I'm talking to you and Giuseppe's with you. I've tried 10 years to get in contact with you. I first turned on to you with Carrington Hitchcock about 10 years ago when you were interviewed on the Barnes Review Radio. And I've listened to your programs practically every Wednesday. And I admire your courage to bring up the fact that you disaffiliated from Freemasonry. And Freemasonry is the right hand of the left hand of communism, according to people who know better than me. And it would have been impossible without Masonic Jews and banks in New York and Wall Street and probably London. And they've had a 170-year plan, in effect, to infiltrate the Catholic Church. And by 1962, their plan came to fruition, and they absolved the Jews of the deicide crime of killing Jesus Christ. Yet the big guns in the Catholic Church, especially St. Augustine, who you often refer to in the City of God, he saw it back then, 1,600 years ago, that the enemy was the city of man, the leaders, the Jews, and they were at war with the Catholic Church. And this, as you've said many, many times, this war goes on now down in our day. We have to wrap our head around this. So, yes, I'd just like to say thank you, and please, please, please keep up the fine work.
Well, thank you. That was quite a nice call. I'm glad you like my buckets of rocks, and I hope you continue to listen. And stop by the chat room sometime. I'd love to follow up with you on that. Giuseppe, what's your take on what Mr. Steve was saying?
Oh, what a great call, Steve. And he's from Baltimore. Balmer, as the locals like to say. And that's another town that was very much like Milwaukee, where I grew up, a working-class town on a big body of water. And when I first moved out for my first job in the District of Criminals in 1987, I used to drive to Balmer regularly because it was a lot cheaper to go and see bands and have great food than it was down in the district. And now there's parts of Balmer. I mean, it's really amazing that there's a massive gentrification project. They did one about 30, 40 years ago called the Inner Harbor, and now they're doing another one where along the water, the harbor where the working boats are. And it's crazy that, you know, you think about, people are talking about, oh, they're going to collapse society. Well, then why is there so much construction, and they're trying to move this just horrible ghetto configuration of drug addicts, utterly impoverished wards of the state, violence and these gangs and all. They're trying to shift it away, and they want to gentrify more along the water. So it's very interesting. And the other thing about the Catholic Church, and you quote it all the time, the Sanhedrin letter, Frederick, but I know when I was a little boy, real little boy, I used to go to church, and my father wasn't very religious, but my mother was more. So I'd go with her like to the Station of the Cross at night when I was real in the early 60s, and it was in Latin, and it was really awe-inspiring. And then Vatican II, which is exactly what Steve is describing, when it was infiltrated by globalist communist phony converso Catholics, and all of a sudden it went from this awe-inspiring Latin mask and a choir to a portly, tubby little nun playing an acoustic guitar, and I'm like, this doesn't inspire me at all. So they really sabotaged the Catholic religion at that point.
Excuse me for one quick moment, please. Some people are convinced that the Catholic Church has been Judaized, because this is what Jews do. And Paul VI was half Jewish. His mother was Jewish. John Paul II was Jewish. Cardinal Bea, whose real name was Bayam, was Jewish. He was a confessor to Pius XII. So we really shouldn't be too surprised, because this is what they do. They got us all being circumcised over here, eating Jew food.
All right. Great call. Thanks, Mr. Sue. I hope you have a great weekend. Mr. Producer, can we have Brendan in Massachusetts, please?
Yes, hello, gentlemen. How are you?
Greetings, good sir.
Greetings.
I want to, a great call, the previous caller, but I want to shift gears and talk about some practical economics.
Okay.
And what I'd like to ask is, given the currency devaluation of the U.S. Federal Reserve note, which is used to pay everybody who is employed, civilian and military, in the United States of America, emphasis being on the U.S. military, if the U.S. currency is devalued to the point where it is no longer really able to pay people, would the U.S. military engage in aggressive action against, say, China or Russia or both, when they're not being paid in a currency that has any transferable value?
So to summarize, is the U.S. military, are they soldiers or are they mercenaries? What do you say, Giuseppe?
Ever since the Heinrich Kissinger, I think he's an Irish Catholic. No, of course not. He's a traitorous satanic Jew. Convinced Nixon to go off of the gold standard onto the petrol dollar, the United States military has absolutely, at that point, became low-paid mercenaries for the synagogue of Satan, the Rothschild globalist banking empire, and that's the whole reason why there has been dollar dominance for going on.
But what I'm wondering about, hold on, I understand that, but from a purely practical point of view, if it gets to a point where the U.S. military, which is basically mercenary, if they're not actually paid in the currency that they can utilize, if they're paid in funny money or no money of value, would they carry out, say, a war to keep the U.S. currency afloat from, you know, Chinese and Russian? I believe the Chinese and Russian are basically, their objective is to fundamentally devalue the dollar to zero, causing a currency collapse and subsequently a political disunity comparable to the 1989 USSR collapse. If that should happen, and there is, would they do it? What would they be paid in? Not paid mercenaries, you know, Blackwater and so forth. They're going to get gold or silver, but U.S. military enlistee, Army, Navy, Air Force, etc. What are they going to be paid in? If the currency,
well, they'll be paid either in cryptocurrency or the new Federal Reserves. It'll be digital currency. But remember, everybody thinks just because they're going to eliminate the dollar that suddenly society is going to collapse, they're going to seamlessly migrate to electronic payments. So the soldiers are still going to be able to buy their food, buy their beer, do whatever. It's not like we're going to hit anarchy because they get rid of. I hope they don't succeed, but if they do,
what I'm wondering, though, Giuseppe, what I'm wondering is, would the Chinese, fearing a preemptive strike by the U.S. military, would they actually collapse all currencies on the currency market, rendering the U.S. Federal Reserve note to 0.00 on the dollar, and they wouldn't get paid anything? And it would be too late for them to change over to the federal, you know, the Fed now and so forth, CBDC. In other words, would the U.S. military carry out if they're not being paid?
Right. And that was a question my father always asked when he, you know, back. It's one of those things where you start thinking about what your father said, and it's like, oh, now I understand. And he was talking about this great reset scenario where you basically cause such rapid inflation, devalue your currency, while at the same time you're having all these other boom and bust cycles where people like Vanguard and BlackRock are buying up everything. And so basically the bank, being the Jewish, you know, synagogue of Satan, calls in the market and says, you have defaulted, you're in debt, so we'll just take all your infrastructure, and now this is our new global currency, and if you want to do a lateral transfer into our military, this is, you know, your military debit card, and you get so many units a month or whatever. You know, I kind of see that kind of scenario playing out. What do you think of that, Giuseppe?
Yes. Yep.
Oh, I agree. And I guess what Brendan is referring to is like a nightmare scenario. It always seems to me that we see where they want to, they being the globalists and the Satanists, want to have a soft landing for all this stuff. So you're talking about a plummet off the cliff. And once that occurs, yeah, I think all bets are off. And holy cow, that'll be martial law. I think they'll figure out some way to compensate the military because they need the military. So that'd be a very compelling question.
Yeah, great call.
Just so you know, hold on real quick, one final thing.
Yeah.
I'm calling from Massachusetts. I don't know if that surprises you. From Boston, no less. But there are plenty of us out here who listen to RBN. And I know, you know, it may sound strange to people outside of the RBN network, but there's a loyal following in Massachusetts, the bluest of the blue, maybe California. Well, all right. That's good. Well, that's it. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. I hope you have a great weekend. Mr. Producer, can we have Laura in Michigan, please?
Hello. I thought I'd tell you something you might get a kick out of. I listened to Glenn Beck last week, and he was all excited. He finally was at an auction, was able to get something that he's been wanting for 15 years. You won't believe what it is. He said he got a sign that belonged on the showers going into Auschwitz. I wonder how many of these signs the Jews have made.
Oh, work will set you free. That's hilarious.
Yeah, that's what he got.
I wouldn't have thought that would have been on his wish list. That's pretty.
Yeah, that's pretty wild.
Yeah, because you know he's a goofy guy, so you know. Yeah. Also, in the other discussion, I wonder if Zelensky's going to give back the $400 million he personally pocketed.
What do you think's happening with the Russian-Ukraine thing? We haven't touched on that yet. So, what's your take on that, Miss Laura?
Well, I'm rooting for Putin. You know. I mean, that's all I got to say. I'm rooting for Putin, and everybody I can tell, I try to tell them the whole story about 2014 and everything. We just got to educate people. They have no clue. So listen to MSM, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Good point.
But I don't think we'll ever see those dollars again. except maybe during the Hunter Biden trial, you know, they might pop up there. But
they just keep sending him money, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Meanwhile, like $200 billion, I think, that we sent to Ukraine.
Yeah. And we've got children in the Appalachian Mountains starving. We got billions for Ukraine. So,
Laura and Frederick, did you see where recently Zelensky bought his parents an $8 million villa, complete with a saltwater pool and 3 brand new vehicles, and he's moving them in? I mean, we know where the money's going, and a lot of it is
million,
not
million dollars he's got.
Yeah,
yeah.
And he's got mansions, you know.
Exactly. Yeah.
But we got a stupid government that's overlooking all this.
Yeah. Well,
we're run by.
You know, those angry Jewish homosexuals, you know, they have certain needs and certain standards of living that they've become accustomed to, right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, anything else, Miss Laura? We're going to move on to the next caller.
No, I just thought I'd get a kick out of it.
Oh, that Glenn Beck story is hilarious.
That's
got a link posted in the chat room, please. I'll have to cover that this weekend sometime. So, anyway, well, thanks for the call, and you have a great weekend. Mr. Producer,
bye-bye.
Can we have...
Bye.
Bye. Mr. Producer, can we have Mr. Lark in Texas, please? Or, excuse me, just Lark in Texas.
Howdy, guys.
Greetings, good sir.
Greetings,
happy
Lark.
Saturday.
Well, listen, I guess I called because I was curious if you, Giuseppe, had ever heard of a website called The Pope in Red.
No, I haven't. Let me look. Is it still up? Let me check it out.
Yeah, I think so. It's called The Pope in Red. And another one is called They Call Me Jorge. This would be, of course, referring to our current crypto-Jewish Pope Francis. But this is all interesting stuff. And then recently, you know, our favorite Pope back in the 80s, we used to say that darn Pope. he has inaugurated Chrislam. You know, these interfaith religious dialogues have been occurring really since the time of the world or the National Council of Churches, which became the World Council of Churches. And it's very interesting to me that all the religions are supposed to be brought together as one in interfaith dialogue, and yet there's only one faith that is considered outside the bounds of such a thing, unless it comports entirely with the tenets of their own faith. And I always found it curious that on the U.S. Supreme Court today, we find only Catholics, so-called, and Jews, so-called. No Protestants. And why is that? But then it makes me realize that it's because there's some affinity between Jews and Catholics for what the Jews call pilpul and what the Catholics call casuistry, which is basically about interpretation of meaning. But anyway, I wanted to bring those things up to y'all and to your listeners because I thought it might be pertinent to the discussion.
Oh, definitely. Giuseppe.
Yeah, I'm looking at the Pope in Red website. I definitely look forward to checking that out. Those are great points, Lark, that there has been an infiltration of the Catholic Church. I mean, those few centuries where the Catholics were like, we will have nothing to do with the Jews, when they took the Bible proper interpretation that they were the children of Satan, and ever since then the slime mold, I like to call it the malignancy, satanic malignancy, has slowly eaten into the Catholic Church to the point now where other than people like Vigano or Bishop Williamson, there's very few Catholics who really understand what the religion is anymore. It's become sadly like a globalist Jew light, which is disgusting.
And of course, we shouldn't forget, I suspect, that, you know, Dallas, where I live, is the home of C.I. Scofield and the Scofield Reference Bible. He had a ministry here for 20 years, and the locals seem quite proud of it. I've always been amazed by that. And also, let's not forget the rise of the so-called church growth movement. Just do a search, John MacArthur Exposed, and read about this guy named Peter Drucker and how this idea of total quality management was merged right in with his notions about how to interpret the Kabbalah and the Talmud.
Right. Thanks for the call. Don't hang up yet. Yeah. But one of the things I've noticed is the pattern of, as all of these cells of chicken swingers move into these southern towns, especially ones with university, the first thing the rabbis do is set up an interfaith council NGO and appoint themselves the head of it. And then they sit there and they invite, of course, all of the Muslim leaders and the Hindu leaders and the Sikh leaders, etc. Even if there's like three Sikhs, you know, in town, they get a place at the table. And then they go through this culling process of, you know, any of the Protestant churches or Catholic churches that don't want to be part of this blasphemous interfaith council. It's like, you know, y'all are thinking different than us. We don't want to be part of your group. Or just the ones that won't follow the woke agenda, they start waging war on. And so all these mega church, you know, big churches, established churches, you know, suddenly they run afoul of the interfaith council and they're under attack because they're not going along with the woke agenda that is being set down by these invading chicken swinger rabbis. Have, Have y'all seen that in your areas?
Oh, man, when we were renting up in Northern Virginia, that was everywhere. Luckily, here in rural Stafford, there's a pretty non-trivial Muslim presence, but very little Jewish presence, which is a breath of fresh air from my perspective.
Yeah. And one of the other things is all of these churches that are overextended buy into all these NGO programs and others in order to keep the lights on. And so they are bringing in the LGBTQ. They are bringing in the clergy plan invaders. They're doing all of these things because they get paid to do it, because all the all the white people in their congregation, they're all being put out of work. They're, you know, all their jobs are going off, so, or their jobs are being taken by these invaders, so they can't tithe like they used to. And so these churches are struggling financially, and suddenly there's all this philanthropy money if they will change church doctrine. And so I see all these churches just completely selling out just to stay in existence. Are you seeing that?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. So real quick, you said we're almost out of time. Did Lark drop off?
Lark, no, I'm sure he did. Oh, he's there. Okay. All
okay.
Right.
So, Lark, are you seeing that pattern of warfare where these rabbis move in and set up these interfaith councils?
Yeah, absolutely. Because, you know, there's an inextricable tie between religion, philosophy, and the law. And I have to tell you, where I saw this most keenly was in looking at the law school reviews of Brigham Young University many years ago, a dozen years ago, but also through the writings of Harold Berman. Harold Berman is a very interesting character who was a professor of law at Harvard for 40 years and then 20 years more. So for 60 years, this man taught about the Western legal tradition, not the American legal tradition, the Western legal tradition. And I think that your listeners would find, just looking into the writings of this guy, Harold Berman, quite instructive.
All right. Well, thanks so much for calling in. We're going to have to call. We've already run out of time. Real quick, Giuseppe, what's the big news about the show tomorrow night?
The Sane Asylum expands, double your pleasure, double your fun, to 2 hours beginning tomorrow. And you, as the most awesome co-host, will be doing it for 2 hours instead of 10 to 11 Eastern, 9 to 10 Central. It is now 9 to 11 Eastern and 8 to 10 Central. And we have plenty of time to take all the calls and to deep dive topics. So tune in tomorrow for 2 hours of the Sane Asylum with co-host Frederick C. Blackburn.
All right. Well, I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend. Giuseppe, thanks for joining us tonight. And until next time, I will see you all at the rendezvous. We should be out. Play us out, Johnny. There it is. All right. Thanks again.
Thank you. Wonderful show.
Subscribe to the Freedom Times monthly newspaper, published since 1985. That's right, 1985. The Freedom Times pulls no punches and observes no sacred cows or taboos. The perilous times we live in are too critical for anything but honest discussion of America's plight. The Freedom Times is the antidote to the lies and distortions of the fake news media. There's no better way to inform and enlighten Americans than by reading the Freedom Times each month. New subscribers may sign up at the special rate of just $29 for 1 year or $55 for 2 years. Subscribe online by going to AmericanFreedomNews.us or mail your subscription to The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. That's The Freedom Times, P.O. Box 218, Wildwood, Pennsylvania, 15091. Support America's best patriotic newspaper and one of the very few left by becoming a subscriber to The Freedom Times today.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.